Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you right now, Lord, and I pray, Lord, move me out the way, Lord, that you may have your way, Lord, to speak through all of us, Lord, according to your ways and your word, Lord. Move me out the way, take away the nervousness I'm feeling right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, bless the community of believers that's here, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, ladies, we're gonna be in with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what I wanted to do is I want to kind of read it and kind of go over some things first, because I have several different kind of things that I didn't jot it down that I would like to go over and elaborate on. So we in Luke 10 and 25. Some of the things I might stop and say, because some of this was just hilarious to me. It got even more funnier last night as I was reading it, because I was like, hey, this lawyer. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, so for me, it was like, you know who Jesus is, you know what he's done, and why are you testing him? It's like you're testing the word. Jesus was the word in the flesh, so you decide to test the word. So the teacher, he's saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? So Jesus answered him a question, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he desired to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by a chance, a priest was going down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and he saw, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring out olive oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him into the inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. I thought that was cool right there, because you're going to take out two denarii and then you take them out and you tell him if you need more money. So they trusted him. They had confidence in him that they would get their money. So that's what I was loving about that. He already had a relationship and they already knew who he was. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. So my whole thing with this was the man that we just listened to, C.C. Winans, Mercy Said No. I love that song. I wish you guys was here to hear it, because it's like listening to that is giving me I can't get stuck in who I am. When I wanted to bring this word to you guys, I wanted to move me out the way. I didn't want to be nervous. I didn't want to be all willy-nilly or anything like that. But in one of my notes, I wrote, mercy appears in the Bible as it is as it relates to forgiveness or withholding punishment. For example, God the Father showed mercy on us when he sacrificed his son, Christ Jesus, on the cross to pay for our sins. But the Bible also defines mercy beyond forgiveness, withholding punishment. And we're all guilty of needing to forgive. I also wrote down Ephesians 2:4-5. Let's go there. And in Ephesians 2:4, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So it's like none of us can do anything to say that I'm saved because of I did this good work, I did that good work. We have not done anything that would be good enough for us to save ourselves. But Christ Jesus, he died on the cross. You know, we all know the story. He was pierced and the thorns on his head and stuck pierced in the side and all that. So we all know that. But it's like the mercy that the Samaritan had for the man that was beaten. He took no thought. And so many times when we're out here in the neighborhoods and we see different people that need help, sometimes we live in a community of believers that are germ magnet. I can't touch this person because they might have too many germs. I can't do this because this person might. Well, who are with you? Because Jesus said that if he be with me, I can go and I can do whatever I need to do. And so if we're trying to reach a lost generation, we need to reach them through just being able to touch them. Sometimes people, a touch from a person that has not been, I've seen a homeless person this morning on the way here. And I told Trayvon, I just started praying. And I said, God, cover him. Then I started sharing with him even a little bit concerning his mom. And I said, sometimes people just need a touch. Sometimes people just, you say you're a Christian, you say this, you know, we can quote scriptures until we blue in the face. But when our lifestyle and our vocal is one that, and with me and my vocal, I'm trying to bring it down some because I am an extremely loud person. So I'm trying to bring it down because sometimes my words can be offensive. Not to say that I'm trying to offend somebody, but the loudness in my voice can be offensive. So try to bring it down some and allow the presence of who God is to dwell within me. So I looked up a priest because I was curious about, because I know what a priest is. We all know what a priest is. And so it said a priest is a religious leader authorized to perform rituals or religious things and to mandate agents between humans and one another. So and the deity of the priesthood. So I'm like, well, this priest, he's supposed to love Jesus. This priest is supposed to, and he probably had his Bible as he was walking. So this priest, as he's going, he's not in a place of wanting to help anybody. The Levi, they were musicians. I'm sorry, certain words I struggle with. Gatekeeper, guard, temple official, judge, craftsman, the tribe of Levi descended from Levi, the third son of Jacob and Leah. So some of these things I found kind of interesting because of who Jacob and Leah was. Then I was like, the Jewish culture didn't touch dead bodies. So the Levite and the priest, they felt like if they would have touched, they assumed him to be dead. So it would defile them. So because they assumed he was dead, and they were more concerned with their personage than to help an individual, that they didn't go over to touch him. They said more, they care more about themselves than to care about the individual. And we don't know. And sometimes if it's a dead body, we can very well tell that it's a dead body. But if you're far off, how are you going to know anything about people? So if we stand far off, and how will people get to know anything about us? If we say we love Jesus, but yet and still we are distant, you know, like how people can be, because people love to talk about people. Did you see her? Did you see what she had on? How about embracing her? How about loving on her? How about saying you're so pretty? How about doing that, you know, instead of that? In Romans 12 and 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, not yours, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true proper worship. It's like worship is powerful. How can we worship if we're so focused on ourselves? The kingdom of God is so powerful, but yet and still sometimes some people that are grafted into the kingdom, they'll hold on to their own religion and not give it out. You don't want to give it out. You don't want to share. You don't want to be there, or you want to do barely enough to say, I did something. But did Jesus do barely enough? So if Jesus would have did barely enough, it would have been, we all wouldn't be saved. So in John 3:6, this is one of my favorite. I know y'all hear me say this a lot, but in John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and if we're the whosoever that believes, then we need to be that for others too, so they can see what we believe. When I first got saved, I know nothing about it at all. I seen people that were different, and what I saw in them that was different, that they didn't do, that I was doing as a sinner, I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to be a sinner anymore, but I mainly watch. And as we're watching sinners, sinners are watching us.
Yeah.
And so if you're sitting up there and you're saying you love God, and so we're not going to be perfect. So my main thing to say to a sinner is, I'm not perfect. And I will be doing this walk of humility until the day I die. I will not be, but I will always be loving and giving and forgiving, always ready to forgive. Forgive quickly. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. That's something that stuck with me as well. So it's like we take as a community of believers, and certain things that we don't want to touch in people is the main thing that they need touched. And it may appear to be dead to us, but what appears to be dead, the Spirit of the living God can raise it up. Amen. So if we don't touch that's in them that needs to be resurrected, because when people, like my daughter, for instance, there's some things she's going through, but I can't do it. But I know that God can do it. I know God can do it. Do I know when he's going to do it? No. Do I know how he's going to do it? No, I don't. But do I know that through the process, I need to just stay faithful to him? Through the whole process, I need to keep praying for others, just like my daughter. I need to keep praying for those. It's so much that this world is in need of prayer for. So, and this is not good. So, some names for a Samaritan: humanitarian, bleeding heart, donor, sponsor, benefactor, contributor. Personality traits of the Samaritan: seek to choose personal relationships. Personal relationships. When we have relationships with one another, like Pastor Janine, I can call her, and I don't call her that often because, you know, for one thing, certain things you need to kind of figure out on your own. But when I'm stuck, I'll call you. I'm stuck, I call Mary Jo. I'm stuck, I'm going to call Louise. I'm stuck, God forbid, I'm going to call Mary Ryland. But God, I stuck, I call Amber. I call all of you ladies. I'm sorry. I'm stuck. I didn't call Lisa. Carolyn, you got to give me your number. You ain't out of it. So when I get stuck on some things, because I'm not perfect, and I desire to do things for God, but then things become so overwhelmed that you get so stuck on what's going on in your life, and I don't like being like that. So I'll get dressed and go outside and meet somebody and talk to somebody, because I don't want to get stuck on it. I just don't. So in the 27th Psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though wars rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in the shelter. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under a covering of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melodies to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. Hallelujah. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Oh, you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in the level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witness have risen up against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I think if we, like, even with the Samaritan, not the Samaritan, but the priest and the Levite, if they, their confidence was in the Lord, they're studying the word of God, but their confidence wasn't in the Lord. Their confidence was in the lack of the flesh. Yes, the flesh is not able to do a lot of things, but in God's grace and mercy that he has given us, we can press in the pressing. But if you're not there, then in that pressing moment, in times of just praying, just sitting quiet before the Lord, just sitting quiet, then what builds up in you is the presence of his Holy Spirit. You get that, you gain that, but if you're not sitting quiet, if you're not in prayer, if you're not in worship, and then what Teresa talked on Sunday before last about being plucked, I can't let that go either. That was so powerful. We are so powerful in unity, but when we're not together, when we don't gather together in unity, when we don't iron sharpen its iron, if we're not together to sharpen each other, to instill wisdom in each other, to encourage one another in the Lord. See, my teaching, I already knew my teaching wasn't going to be like neither one of y'all's. I'm not even teaching. I just feel like I'm just here to give a word of exhortment of who God is. You know, it's not something that because you are a teacher, Pastor Janine, Louise, and what's your name is Mary Jo. You're a teacher. Me, myself, I love to encourage people. I know who I am, and I'm confident in who I am, and I'm comfortable in who I am. Thank you, Jesus, because now I'm feeling comfortable now, because I'm not a teacher, even though through who I am as a woman of God, you can learn certain things from me. I'm not disillusional where I'll be like, oh, you can't learn nothing from me. No, I can show you a whole lot of things if you want to listen. But here's the thing. If you try to compare, see, in the body of Christ, when we are a body of believers, the hand and the feet do not operate together. So it's like understanding to let the elbow be an elbow, let the ankle be an ankle, let the ear be an ear, and quit trying to put people out of place. If I'm an ear and I can hear, and if I'm a mouth and I can speak, then let me do that. But when we become to the place that, oh, no, she don't do this like Pastor Oz. No, Pastor Oz's brain is going to be for science. Promise you that. It's going to be dedicated to science. It is, because I've never heard anybody with a brain like that. It amazes me all the time. So it's like what we need to do is our confidence is in the Lord. We find confidence in the Lord when we come together like this. When Teresa was talking about being plucked off, you get plucked off because you shrink back. You shrink back. You don't want to come in. You don't want to hear the word of God, you know, or you think it's easier to do it this way or it's better to do it that way. But when you come together in a community of believers, there's so much power, yes. So much power. It power in the worship. Power in the word of God coming forth. Power, but you miss all that because it's like this is different. It's not like you're, because see, sometimes when you just have to do this, it's a good thing. It's a good thing when you just have to. Because if I'm sick at home like Cindy, you know, sometimes, you know, she has to hear this like this. And so if this is something you have to do, then amen. But if it's not something you have to do and you can't come in, come in. Come in and be around. Fellowship and get to learn one another. You know, like, do you know Mary Jo can dance? Mm-hmm. See? You have to learn one another. You know, Louise can sing. Pastor Janine ain't the only one can sing. I'm sorry. That's just choice. So that's the Joyce part. Do you know Mary Hart and her mind? I told Pastor Janine that her eye that she can see out of is a scanner. It scans things and she sees things and she understands. Amber knows every person that comes through that line. So it's the unique giftings of the community of believers coming together, and we incorporate the food ministry for Lord of the Harvest. To incorporate that, it's like we, and Mary, we honor her. We pray for her, and then we push her. No, I'm saying. But we love her, and it's like she does such an excellent job. So it's like, if we don't come together, like Pastor Oz, but you know, Pastor Oz is a strong man because his strength as a pastor, but as a human being, I see him so strong. I see Pastor Oz as so strong that he just is fearless. He go wherever he wants to go, but he fearless because of who he believes. He fearless because he believes that the Father is with him. He fearless because he know if I step here, Jesus is stepping there with me. So it's like that fearless that he has. It is so like, wow. Because Pastor Oz came to the ghetto to see this Joyce right here. And I came over here and I tell you, y'all have not been able to shake me loose. It's like a booger. I'm sorry. So it's the Joyce in me and the Jesus in me. But I also wanted to read some things about the in Acts, the second chapter in Acts. Because God is just so good. It's just like, man, I love this. In Acts 14, but Peter standing with the 11 lifted up his voice and answered them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs on the earth below: blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great, magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So as we're here and we have called upon the name of the Lord and we are saved, so I'm reminded of the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, when they wouldn't bow to the God that the king wanted them to bow to. But even in the midst of their fiery furnace, there was still God in the furnace with them. But even God in the furnace with them, what was the Hebrew boys doing? They were dancing. So in our furnace of affliction, in our knucklehead children, in our bills, in our health, in everything that we're struggling with, are we still dancing in the furnace of our affliction? Or are we somewhere licking our wounds to decide, man, I got this going on. Man, I got that going on. Because sometimes we want to get together and, well, let me tell you, girl, yeah, my fingernail got connected to my toenail, and I don't know how that happened. So we'll get together and we'll do those kind of things. And sometimes, I like to crack jokes. I like to be silly. That's just me. That's who I am. But I'm a lover of the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God so much that if people are complaining too much, I will disappear. Because I don't want to hear it. Because it's like, it's not building me. And what is building on the inside of me is building up some things that's not being beneficial to the kingdom of God. So if we're to be Christ-like, we need to build ourselves. And as we're building ourselves, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You're not encouraging me in the Lord is if all we're talking about is Bobby Joe or your toenail or whatever. So we got to be focused.